That's probably, I probably said that after every deal I've ever closed, is the next one's going to be twice the size, because, you know, small deals are just as much work and, you know, less profit, less scale. So, you know, it was like, I refer to it as kind of a bite-sized transaction. You know, we're automating some processes, building up some systems. So it should be a lot easier of a lift to go do a deal that's twice the size. And that's actually what we're working on. And we're in the early stages on, you know, bidding on some properties that are 4 to 5 times as large and closer to New York City even. And we're seeing some purchase prices approach $10 million on some of these campgrounds, which is just kind of crazy.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I am so excited to introduce our guest for the day, Matt Whittermore. Matt, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Excited to talk real estate today.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really, really excited to dive into what you're working on right now. So everyone, Matt has a diverse background in real estate, and he's currently focused on investing in RV parks and campgrounds, which we're very excited to hear about. Matt, why don't you start us off by telling us a bit about how and why you got started in real estate, and then why you transitioned to RV parks and campgrounds.
Sure, absolutely. So I had always been in real estate really for the first 10 and last 10 years of my career. Started as an employee, actually got my real estate license, did some apartment rentals at the young age of 20, and didn't really enjoy that job. It was a nice seasonal way to make a little bit of money. But I quickly, you know, working with the landlords, I quickly realized, like, wow, this seems like it could be a pretty powerful thing to get involved in terms of real estate investments.
So wait, were you property managing for these landlords?
So I was in the city of Boston, which student rentals are just a booming business there because of the number of colleges and everything. So I basically did leasing. So I worked for a real estate brokerage that pretty much exclusively did apartment leasing. And I focused on students. It was seasonal. I was still in college. So did that for a couple of years, a couple summers, essentially. And ended up wanting to learn more about the investment side of things. So ended up getting a full-time W-2 type job for a small owner and property management company in Boston that bought small multifamily properties. So worked there for 4 years and just kind of learn the ropes, everything real estate investment, at least in terms of that, the space in the small multifamily world. Got hungry to learn about bigger, more complex deals and learned a lot along the way about financing these properties. So took that interest and actually became an analyst working in the commercial mortgage world. Spent the next 5 years of my career doing that, doing debt and equity placement and commercial mortgages for all types of investment real estate, large and small.
You know, yeah, interesting. I did that too as well. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Awesome. But, you know, I always had my primary interest in real estate because I just wanted to learn enough to do some investments myself. So about 2 years ago, set out to essentially buy as much real estate as I could. Started with small apartments and recently transitioned, as you mentioned, into RV parks and campgrounds, which was sort of by accident. We had really set out to find mobile home parks. And quite simply, what happened was we had a list that had a small portion of that list was miscategorized as mobile home parks, but they're actually campgrounds and RV parks. So some sellers started getting back to us and said, "Hey, Matt, yeah, we're interested in selling, but this is not a mobile home park. this is an RV park. And some of those properties were almost institutional level properties. So we got a glimpse. We didn't end up buying those institutional properties, but we got a glimpse into what those properties look like. We met the sellers, toured the properties, examined the books, and just learned an immense amount. And it was really eye-opening to see what the cash flow potential is for these types of properties. And that's, we're primarily high cash flow investors. So that's what gets us excited.
And let's talk about that a little bit. So when you say high cash flow investors, you know, what qualifies as high cash flow to you, and what asset classes are you looking at, and how have things changed over the years?
So we typically look for, even with apartments, we're trying to get to a 20% or more cash on cash return annually. Typically, with the way we finance properties, which is through bank financing primarily, we're looking for a 10% cap rate or more. That's market price for some of these RV parks. I mentioned some of those institutional properties, you might see those trade in the mid single digits in terms of a cap rate, but that's a kind of a REIT type level property that, you know, it's just a different type of investment. So you don't see that type of cash flow. But we're also seeing a lot of private equity dive into the space, which has been interesting, encouraging, but, you know, also kind of a bummer because the deals are getting snapped up.
This is for RV parks.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, and why do you prefer high cash flowing investments?
Maybe it's because I'm young in age. So it's, you know, kind of looking at like the way a financial advisor might advise me on how to allocate a stock portfolio. It's more high risk, high return. I don't, you know, it's just, I feel that the time and risk that I put in for these types of real estate investments, I want to get paid well for it. And, you know, we don't look at appreciation. We don't look at, you know, buying markets. We look at individual deals, and cash flow is just what gets us excited about it.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So, I mean, I can definitely relate, having started out my done Airbnb investing, and definitely appreciate that perspective. It's just like so much, it's nice to create a business that actually, you know, cash flows significantly. With small multifamily, it's much more of a long game when it comes to actually like producing cash flow for yourself to live on. Okay, so let's dive into RV parks and campgrounds. And I mean, it sounds like there's more attention coming to the space, which is good and bad. What do you find attractive about the space, et cetera?
Yeah, so it really starts with the cash flow, I'd say, in terms of what attracts us. And, you know, when I say we, I'm referring to actually two business partners now that I work with on these deals. And what, at least me personally, got me interested and excited is just the level of creativity that you can bring to an RV park investment, which I think it's a lot harder to bring that to an old apartment building or a small apartment building. There's, you know, it's there isn't much freedom to totally change the business. It's, you know, it's apartment rentals. Maybe the most freedom you have is to do something like Airbnbs or go short-term rental or do a furnished rental, but there's just not a ton of space for creativity, which to me, it keeps it interesting. But at the end of the day, it's all dollars and cents.
So what kinds of creativity, like, can you employ in the mobile, in the RV park campground world?
So there's just so many different revenue streams that you can implement. And for example, the one that we're in process, where it's an existing campground we purchased in the Catskill Mountains, very rustic on the smaller side in terms of number of sites, but people just love going there. So it's been encouraging. But, you know, for that one, we implemented online booking, which was a huge value add, got a lot more active on social media and with marketing. I think there's more to that than perhaps on an apartment building. But just adding different streams of income, like winter storage, we charge, because it's a seasonal business and it closes in the winter, we charge for people to store their RVs there for the winter, which a lot of mom and pop owners don't do, but the institutional owners do. So changing what's available in the store, expanding the store. We're looking at potentially like getting a food truck to just keep on premise to like serve lunch and breakfast for a couple hours, just things like that, you know, getting entertainment, live music. We've been exploring a lot of different activities and ways we can amenitize the property.
Cool. And so how does that work from a management perspective? Because obviously the more you have going on in a property, you know, the more there needs to be someone kind of attending to it. So do you hire a property manager? How does that work?
On our current property, we have one full-time for the season. So 6 months a year, May to October, he's full-time, lives on the property. And he runs the store. He checks people in, checks people out, also manages the facilities. I think we're kind of at the threshold of where a true, you know, one person staff can handle everything. I think right around like 100 sites, one person can comfortably manage. But then you typically get into having part-time workers on top of those 100 sites just to help even things out. And there's really two roles that you see in managing a campground. There's the front desk store manager who, you know, deals with the campers, camper relations. And then there's the facilities manager who's making sure the bathroom's clean and making sure all the infrastructure and everything is working. So something that is pretty common throughout the industry is actually bartering with campers. You know, you might give somebody a free seasonal site, which would be worth like $2,000 to $4,000 a year. You might barter for part of that value or all of that value, which is actually coming very handy. We have a couple contractors actually who are interested in bartering at our current campground for tree work, site work, building a roadway for us, different things like that. I think it's a huge asset for us, especially when we're in development mode, saving that cash. I mean, that cash is king. So not having to outlay cash for certain development kind of line items or jobs or projects is pretty powerful.
Yeah. I mean, that is quite a creative way to do it. You know, I love that very, very much. And like you said, especially in development mode, you know, when you're getting the property up and running into, you know, an optimal, you're optimizing it. What a great way. And you have, you know, 100 sites or something like that. What a wonderful way to creatively finance the, you know, the rehabilitation of it. So I love that. So this one property manager guy, I mean, that's still a lot of responsibility to put on one person. Like, do you feel like he's like is a labor of love for him? Is he just getting paid really well? How does that work?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
So he's a camping enthusiast, so it's a personal interest for him. But typically on a campground like this, you know, they'd be compensated with the salary and also free housing and utilities. So, you know, it comes with a free place to live. A lot of times it's people that are approaching retirement age. So they're maybe, you know, had a full-time career and they're, you know, looking to slow things down. Because it's really only 6 months out of the year, and it's pretty part-time even during those 6 months. With this particular gentleman, it's an interesting fit because he's actually a pretty talented carpenter and has done a lot of construction. So he's going to help us out and get some, you know, contractor-type compensation for building some things for us, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think that's a good point is there's like a particular time in life when this kind of job is appealing to people. And so approaching retirement age, I did meet this woman who runs a campground, an RV campground in Klamath, Oregon, and that we were staying at, and she was not approaching retirement age. And so I think it was like not maybe, I mean, it was an amazing place and I'm so glad I got to stay there, but she was also the owner. So when thinking about being an owner and then trying to figure out who to hire, I think that it's so important to know like, okay, who can I put on the ground to really make this work? So that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then how would you characterize like our RV campgrounds, like usually one in the same, or are they different? I mean, obviously they can be combined, but are you typically looking at,
like, are you looking at any campgrounds that don't have RV sites, or do you just put them all in one category?
Typically, no. I don't think we would be interested in a campground that didn't have any RV sites. And this one's interesting. We set out and we were introduced to the almost institutional level seasonal resort type RV park that, you know, has 200 to 300 or even 400 RV sites. And, you know, we're still looking at those opportunities and it's still appealing to us. But the campground that we bought it was made up of 48 RV sites and 23 tent sites. And we're 2 hours from Midtown Manhattan in the southern kind of edge of the Catskills. So we get a lot of interest from New York City. And it's a very rustic campground. It's situated on a mile of the Willowemoc Creek, which is famous for trout fishing. It's a very picturesque, heavily wooded environment. And we just kind of fell in love with it as we toured it. And we knew it wasn't exactly what we were looking for, but it was just such an interesting piece of land and a unique opportunity and a pretty kind of small bite-sized purchase price of under $1 million for our kind of first foray into the space. Even though it didn't check our initial boxes, it checked a lot of other boxes that we didn't know that we were looking for at the time. So we're looking at doing some creative things with possibly tiny homes to do, you know, an Airbnb type model for tiny homes in the RV sites. That's one of the interesting things that we've discovered in this space is that, you know, it's state by state laws, but at least in the state of New York and in the municipality that we're in, for the most part, if a tiny home is, you know, under 8.5 feet wide and under 13.5 feet tall and it's on wheels, it's legally viewed as an RV. So we can just park those in the RV sites and we don't worry about getting approvals for anything. So that's an interesting kind of potential additional phase to this project that we're looking at.
So then it would be more like a cabin rental rather than people parking their RVs on the site. Is that what you're going for?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We've had RV seasonal RVers at this property that have been there for almost 20 years. And it's a very kind of sticky type of, you know, vacation option because people park them there for the whole season. They normally leave them there for the winter. They landscape and build porches and all this stuff around their site. They totally personalize their site and spend all their own money doing it and their own labor. And so it makes people less likely to up and leave.
Are these people, why, when they're, and I'm just, you know, trying to understand the market, what are they doing the other 6 months of the year? And do they work from the RV park? Are they retired?
We have actually a really interesting mix just among our, you know, 30 or so customers that are on site right now. We have retirees, we have younger families, but your typical seasonal RV customer is typically there every weekend. And then maybe 1 week during the summer, they might do a whole family week where, you know, vacation week where they take off work. But for the most part, it's pretty quiet during the weeks. People just come for the weekends and they just view it as, you know, either they're big time fishermen and they love to fish in the creek, or they're just outdoor enthusiasts, or they just enjoy an affordable vacation where, you know, it's an interesting kind of dynamic. In comparing it to the way we invest in apartments or have invested in apartments, we invest typically in workforce housing, more on the affordable end, just because we like those fundamentals. And campgrounds have the same kind of affordable fundamental that even if the economy takes a dive, a seasonal campground is still by far the most affordable way to vacation. So I think it has that kind of security baked in. Even though we have people that are super high net worth in the campground that, you know, they just like to have, it's almost like a third or second vacation home for some people. It is interesting to see the mix of people in the campground itself.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting. So for those weekenders who are coming out for the weekend, because you said it's pretty quiet during the week, do you think those people are like typically working and living in the city during the week?
Yes. For us, being 2 hours from New York City, most of the people do work in the city. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. So what would you look for when you're thinking about your next acquisition?
Bigger.
Okay. Yeah.
I probably said that after every deal I've ever closed. The next one's going to be twice the size because, you know, small deals are just as much work and, you know, less profit, less scale. So, you know, it was like I refer to it as kind of a bite-sized transaction. You know, we're automating some processes, building up some systems. So it should be a lot easier of a lift to go do a deal that's twice the size. And that's actually what we're working on. And we're in the early stages on, you know, bidding on some properties that are 4 to 5 times as large and closer to New York City even. And we're seeing some purchase prices approach $10 million on some of these campgrounds, which is just kind of crazy.
Yeah, for sure. And do you have like an exit plan, or are you planning on just holding and living off the, or, you know, enjoying the cash flow?
We look at really everything as a 10-year hold. We like cash out refinance kind of in the 3 to 5 year range, and then a sale in the 7 to 10 year range. And we are syndicating these on the equity side. So does in large part kind of dictate the business model because, you know, we're pitching that 5 and 10 year IRR. We're pitching the return of capital when we refinance. So following the kind of the classic real estate private equity syndication model, but I think it creates for really enticing metrics with the type of cash flow that we're talking about. So I think we're able to capture some attention from investors with kind of some eye-popping numbers.
Nice. Cool. Well, that is really awesome. And yeah, thanks so much for... So do you think you would also look for something that was close to an urban core if you were doing campground?
Definitely, yes. And that's kind of the struggle. So we come across some really great properties, but they're just in the middle of nowhere. You know, like Western New York, they're 1.5 hours from Buffalo and 1.5 hours from Rochester, which nothing against those cities, but it does make you wonder that, you know, ours, we have natural beauty. We're in Catskill Park. So it's kind of a destination. We're close to a town that's called Livingston Manor that has a lot of great hospitality and restaurants and everything. But you look at some properties and it's just really in the middle of nowhere in farmland. It's tough to justify those ones. I mean, you still got to take it back to the same market dynamics where we look at, you know, what's the population? What are the trends? What's the median, you know, income? What's the median home price? We look at all those kind of market statistics before we dive in.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think work from home is going to do for this current space?
I think it's already done wonders and will continue. And it's, I alluded to it a little bit earlier, but, you know, kind of has that affordable thing kind of aspect baked in. But we're seeing, you know, I'd say probably 5, 10 years ago, you'd look at any given campground and it would be mostly retirees or camping enthusiasts. But now we have people with brand new Airstreams and, you know, millennials with high paying jobs that, you know, just they have a remote working situation. So they work from the road. And there's multiple Facebook groups out there that have thousands and thousands of members and they're full-time RV entrepreneurs. So they don't, you know, they don't necessarily even have a house. They just work out of an RV. They're entrepreneurs and they just sightsee after work hours. And that's what they do, drive around the country.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing so much great information about this niche asset class. It's definitely one that piques my interest. And I mean, it's just a fun asset class to be a part of, right? And it really speaks to what a lot of people are looking for these days with like their like a lifestyle that is more, you know, in tune with nature and, you know, it's affordable and it's a way to kind of spend more time just living close to the land and doing things you love. So what a fun, exciting space to be in. And thanks for just giving us some insights into it. I really appreciate it. Matt, why don't you share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can learn more about our company at newscotlandcapital.com. You can email me there at matt@newscotlandcapital.com. We're also on Instagram as @newscotlandcapital. So really, any of the above, you'll be able to get in touch with us.
Awesome. All right, Matt. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.